it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No balls and a strike. Pajes breaks his bat. Kirkring got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away. And the Dodgers have won. The Dodgers win. And they are moving on to the NLCS. And a most improbable finish. Pandemonium at Dodger Stadium. And your heart breaks for Orion Kirkring. You know, this game ends in the cruelest way for the Phillies.
Why?
Yeah, that was me on my couch last night. The why. I got to say, Brian Anderson captured it well.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Because when he goes to pick up the ball, at no point am I thinking he's going to throw home. Neither did JT Realmuto. He was shocked. We were all shocked, including Kim running the base? I think it was Kim was running the bases for the Dodgers. He looked shocked when he got to home plate. He didn't even step on home plate. Like, nobody in that building was ready for that throw home. Nobody.
No, Freddie Freeman, when he was coming out of the dugout, you saw the shock of Dave Roberts' face as well. I think everybody was stunned. But you're right. He did actually do a really phenomenal job on that call.
It was a good job. 215-592-9494. Scott Fransky will join us coming up in a few minutes on his way home from Los Angeles. Man, we as fans, like, we got to live with it and talk about it, and we're doing a show. I can't imagine, Broads, what it's like for the team to fly home after that. Like, it's not just a road game. It is a cross-country flight. And I know, like, they're used to having to move on. It's part of sports that year to year. Could you imagine what that flight had to be like last night?
No, especially because, forget how we feel, and we mentioned this earlier, they felt they truly could win a World Series.
Yep.
So they were probably just as down as you could possibly ever imagine, because they really thought they could have won a whole entire championship, and they won a playoff game.
Yeah.
They won one playoff game.
Though I do feel that was potentially the World Series. Now, it's not over. Like, the Dodgers are not just now champions. They got to go beat the Cubs or Brewers and then the AL. It did feel, though, like that was the World Series.
You know what? It's funny you say that. My buddy texted me and asked, do you think there would be just a different outlook if they had to play in a wild card series, won a round, and then lost in the NLDS? And not that I really care about that, but I was like, huh.
Maybe. There'd be at least some wins.
Yeah, I know.
Something like that, positive.
But, I'll take the bye. I want the bye. The bye's good. You set up your pitching. It's way better. But I did do a little, well, that's interesting. You're right. Because then there would be a couple of wins. Crowd would be pumped up a little bit.
Well, Red October was one win. One win. We got all pumped up
on
for one win.
On the road.
I know.
On the road.
Well, it's just 2 years in a row now. They've won one total playoff game in each year, right? They beat the Mets in Game 2 last year. They beat the Dodgers in Game 3.
We're too much, apparently.
Yeah, it's our fault. Just ask the Castellanos. Let's go to James in Fairhaven, talking a little bit about Jalen Hurts here. What's up, James?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
James, what's up, buddy?
Going to be honest, not an Eagles fan, but I got a bunch of friends who are.
Okay.
And watching that game last night, I had this strange take. I think that Jalen Hurts might have early onset Russell Wilson. And
you say it like it's a medical condition, early onset, but go ahead, go on and see what he got.
Two specific plays. There was one play, he was scrambling, maybe got like 2 yards, and he slid like 3 yards before anyone was even near him. I understand he wants to protect his body, but it kind of looked like Russell Wilson. And when he overthrew Devontae Smith with that moon ball, I was like, oh, I've seen that before too. Don't know if it really makes any sense.
No, so James, I have felt for a long time, he reminds me, and the Eagles, like this version of them, remind me of like 12 years ago Seahawks with Russell Wilson. So I'm into your comparison. Do you mind if I steal early onset Russell Wilson disease? I might use that on the show. Is that okay?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I don't think it's crazy. I do think there are some similarities. James, we appreciate a phone call. Broads, I said this to you, I think it was off the air. We talked about it on the air. You can win. You can win a lot with Russell. They did, right? And the Eagles can win, and they have one with Jalen Hurts. But I do think there's a formula to do it. There's a way to do it. And when they started to ask Russell to throw the ball 40 times, they stopped winning Super Bowls or getting to them. And now we're doing the last 2 weeks, 38 and 33 throws. And I think it's 9 combined sacks the last 2 weeks. That's not an efficient formula.
Well, I think you hit on it when you talked about how A.J. Brown's pissed. A.J. Brown's not happy. A.J. Brown is loud, and everybody knows how much he's disappointed in this. And we have a young offensive coordinator that wants to make everybody happy.
Yep.
And they're losing the identity of what works with this quarterback. And some may look at that and say, well, then you don't have the right quarterback. But I personally don't, right? Like, everyone was like, wow, look how great Justin Herbert is. And then since the first few weeks, it's kind of... I'm not here to play that game, but I think there is a formula, and they got away from the formula, and that's a problem. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. You have to have some stones as an OC and as a head coach, and you want to use AJ, right? Like, no one's saying don't use AJ and just win football games without him, but there's got to be a happy medium here where what was going on early is unacceptable, not getting AJ involved, but you can't go this route where it's so pass happy that you lose the identity of what works either.
Yeah, the question I'm starting to have, Kyle, when it comes to the Eagles offense and Jalen Hurts, is if teams caught up to, okay, he does these things particularly well, this is where he struggles, and if there's not a great run game, we can make him do the things he's not good at, and then they're going to struggle.
Isn't this multiple times now where players, I guess, or former players have come out and said, like, there's a blueprint.
Yep.
The blueprint's out. And the pattern is, it's put the ball in Hurts' hands.
Yeah, but Spags did that last year and said, I'll put the ball in your hands, and look what happened. So I don't know. And that's where I get stuck in the pickle where I don't think you're wrong. I think there is something to that, right? If you're going to look at the Eagles, you know, Saquon running it down your throat for 250 yards or daring Jalen to beat you take the Jalen thing.
Yeah.
But I just feel sometimes it goes so extreme.
If he does it once at every 5 games, though, is that enough?
That's what I was just going to say.
On average last year, that's kind of what it was. Once every 4 or 5 games, he would just explode.
To answer your question, that is not
enough. Is it fair to just say maybe Hurts is inconsistent?
Well, that's exactly what he is.
And when he's red hot, it's insane.
Well, and this year it's been half to half, not just game to game.
Sure.
Last year was a game to game, right? Down games, then explode. This year it's been like they haven't scored a point in 3 straight second halves.
But doesn't that mean something's wrong? You know what I mean? Something's like really wrong.
Yeah, more than something.
Right.
It feels like a lot of things.
But
wrong.
More than just quarterback play. If you can't get points in 3 consecutive halves,
sure. It's crazy.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. This is kind of what I think a lot of us, people like me and Joe, in our faction here, have been saying last season, like the thing that separates him from the elite quarterbacks,
their consistency,
are the consistency. Like Brian Dawkins came on the radio and said, you know, if we see what he does, what he did in the Super Bowl week after week, then go like knock yourself out.
He's one of those guys. Yeah.
That's where you get to that next tier. In my opinion,
I can't disagree with you that it's not there enough. But I guess I'm holding on that it's because there are some guys that don't have it in there, right?
Well, he has it in him.
He's got it in there. So the flashes that I see when I do see it, I hold my hat on because I know even getting to that level in general is extremely hard to do. And we have someone that could, but why aren't we getting the consistency with
it? The other issue is if it was just him, I think we could fix that, right? he'll find it again. He'll get hot. But it's not just him this time. There's other stuff going on. And that's why, man, it doesn't feel like it's even a 4-2 football team. The way they've looked, they look like a 3-3 or 2-4 team that has a 4-2 record.
1-5.
Yeah, a couple bounces go the wrong way, and we are in disaster mode around here. Brian in Mayfair is up on WIP. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on? I wanted to talk a little Phillies.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So, I really disagree. I heard a lot of your show today. Disagree with that walking Shohei. Topper has made so many mistakes, cost us this series, I think. And those bats, I wanted to ask, like, how much of the bats' fault is on Kevin Long? Because he's their hitting coach and has been for this whole run. And I'm worried about him.
Yeah, I mean, this comes up every year, Brian. I don't know. I mean, if they want to fire Kevin Long tomorrow, they can't. And I don't think it's going to change anything. I mean, Bryce Harper is who he is, right? Kyle Schwarber is who he is. Trey Turner is who he is. I mean, these guys are so far. Now, if we had a team of all young hitters, I could see, like, all right, maybe this guy's not the right teacher for them. But we really, I mean, is anything going to change with our top guys if it's you or me or Kevin Long in the dugout? I don't think so.
No, I would have made that call, though, midseason just to piss people off to see if you can light a fire. Not because I actually think who comes in does a masterful job of changing
them. Remember when Gabe was here? Who I forget the guy's name.
Oh,
John
Mayla? Chris Young? Chris Young was the pitching coach? I forget.
Well, then we also had – they brought Charlie back, remember?
Yeah, they had to bring Charlie in
there. And that didn't do anything because those guys couldn't hit. Go ahead, Brian.
And I wanted to say one more point, and I wanted to thank Ranger. But why is Ranger not pitching in game one? But
I want to thank him.
That was Thompson's decision. I want to thank Ranger for his service, because he's probably not going to be back next year. And he has been a phenomenal athlete for the city of Philadelphia, and I appreciate him. In fact, I appreciate this entire pitching staff, but Ranger's probably not going to be here. So thank you, Ranger. From my bottom of my heart, appreciate your time in Philadelphia.
You got it, Brian, man. We appreciate it. Why Ranger didn't pitch in game one, Broads, I don't know. And I said this the other day. I was almost not hoping, but hoping we would find out he was more injured than we thought, right? He took the comebacker in the last series of the year. I was like, oh, maybe he can't go. And then we watched him, what, he throw 72 pitches in game three? I'm like, he looks fine. He's physically fine. So it was just a decision by Topper. And you mentioned earlier, you know, there's like three or four cascading things that went wrong for him in this series. But that game one, you know, David Robertson, not a single time this year was asked to pitch an inning, go to the dugout, and come back. And to ask him to do it in game one against the Dodgers lineup, like, what did you think was going to happen?
And then you never saw him again.
Yeah.
So then if you didn't have that much faith in him to ever see him again, then what the hell are you doing?
It reminded me of the Kimbrel thing against Arizona. Like, it was obviously the wrong decision.
But at that point, I almost felt, not to go back down that path, but at that point, it's like, I don't know how much he even had left to do in that spot. Maybe I'm being naive and I'm blinded by the moment or whatever, but I kind of remember that sort of being just like, this is what we got. Like,
yeah, they didn't have much. Yeah.
Let's just give it a whirl. Here, there was 75 different things he could have done.
Well, and they had all the off days, right? The off days should have been the advantage where you could use Ranger in game one. He could still come in game three, and they just did not do it. It really is a mess. Allison and Pittman is up on WIP. Hey, Allison.
Hey. I'm not too happy today at all. I feel like I want to gouge my eyes out.
Oh, no.
Put my head through a wall.
You're not the only one, Allison. I think everyone out there feels very similar today.
Yes, it was a tough night. But what I wanted to say was, I know that you had mentioned that it's good to have the bye week for the pitchers, but I think offensively, no way, it is not a benefit. I feel like all the momentum was completely lost. That's one thing. And then the other thing is Topper. He's got to go, period. I think that he's the one that made the mistakes that made the two losses, period. He's got to go.
He does. I mean, Allison, I'm done. And I like the guy, and he's been a good Phillies manager, but I'm with you that I'd move on. Allison, we appreciate the phone call. The bye. So,
are you doing the exact same thing I'm doing right now? Looking at the playoff format.
Well,
right now?
I was going to look at the Blue Jays because they had the bye, right,
the
American League, and they crushed the Yankees. Right?
Now there's two teams right now who had the bye that are going to a game five:
the Brewers and the
Seattle Mariners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I understand why people feel that way. And when you watch them not hit, you're like, that's why. But it just feels like we're making excuses. Like, the Blue Jays had a bye. And Vladimir Guerrero hit like 800 in the series and killed the New York Yankees. Like, Bryce Harper could have done that.
Right.
I mean, like, he's allowed to do the same thing. So maybe it's on how they prepare during the bye week. I mean, that we could talk about. I don't know, right? They had the intra-squad game. I know Bryce, if we use him in particular, his baby was born last week, so his old routine was probably different,
though,
but I don't know.
How much of it, though, is less about format and the bye and just the teams that are, the separation between the teams in the NLDS aren't as large as we want it to be. Just because you win your division, it doesn't mean that. Because the Yankees, Blue Jays, they have the same record.
Yeah, right. They're the same team.
So maybe the...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wacko.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This could be a World Series matchup if they both weren't in the NL and it just happened to be in the NLDS. So how much of it is just disparity in teams not being as large just because you have a bye?
Yeah, it's
you
weird.
Know what I mean?
It's weird to say it today because I don't want to make an excuse for the Phillies, but if they had pitched this way against any other team, they move on. Like, if they were playing any other team in the first round that was in the playoffs and they got this pitching, they probably win that series. It's the Dodgers. Like, because the Dodgers threw at them, but Snell and Ohtani.
But what if you were facing, I don't know, if you're Is this offense going to hit against anyone right now? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
They did face good pitching, though.
They did. Oh, yeah. Like, Glasnow, I thought, was awesome. They got the Yamamoto. Did they get the Yamamoto?
Yeah, they got Yamamoto. Yeah.
See, and this is where Dave Roberts did a good job, is they had to go to Glasnow in the first game. Their bullpen was so bad. Sasaki was a gem.
And now, oh, my goodness.
A gem.
He's nasty.
He's so good. And you got to get weird at this time of the year. You got to go to guys that you don't traditionally go to. That's why I liked when you went to Lizardo. You got to stay with Lizardo. It's unorthodox, but it's that time of the year.
You know what I thought about as I watched Sasaki? He's a young starter who struggled this season,
Andrew
and at the
Painter.
End of the year, they moved him to the bullpen.
Andrew Painter.
I just can't stop thinking about Painter. Like, that.
He's so bad. Schlittler or whatever. Same kind of, I mean, different vibe.
Yeah, but a young rookie pitcher.
Dude, this Andrew Painter thing, I mean, it might get bad. This could be Sixto Sanchez stuff.
Well, and just, well, think about all the pitcher or the players they passed on. Like, in the last 2 years, they could have traded a lot of stars using him, and they didn't want to. So it's wild to me. 3 straight years they're in this, and he doesn't participate, either through injury or they couldn't get him ready this year. All right, let's go to Junior in Texas up on WIP. Hey, Junior.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Look, you know me. I'm positive. Every time I call in, I'm positive. But, you know, I am so frustrated with Petullo and Sirianni right now. You know, Jalen Hurts definitely deserves some of the blame. He has had a poor stretch of games. But Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, we all know he's elite. But he's allowed to have a couple of bad games. Fine. But where the coaching comes in, they're just not helping anybody out. The situational play calling is horrible. The sequencing on the play calling is horrible. I mean, you're down 10 late in the third quarter, and the first thing you want to do is run 12, 13 personnel and run two halfback draws in a row. And now you're 3rd and 10, you're behind the sticks. I mean, that's completely unacceptable. And then on the other side, you have Sirianni every single week. We have things to clean up. We got to be elite at the little things. We got to get the play call in early. We got to reduce the amount of flags. And it's just never showing up. The play call is always coming in late. They're snapping the ball with 2 seconds left on the clock. Nobody's in sync. Nobody's organized. I don't know what's going on with this team. I know this team is capable of going on another Super Bowl run. This roster is stacked, but it just feels like they are being so mismanaged right now. And, you know, even with our quarterback in a slump, with the offense in a slump, the coaching is just not helping them out at all. And it is so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, well, it feels like they're swimming in the deep end with the coaching situation, Junior. I mean, they have an offensive coordinator who just is inexperienced, and clearly he's behind. I mean, bros, you're bringing up, you know, all these ex-quarterbacks, talking about how predictable they are. Like, you step to the line and you know what they're going to do. I don't care how much talent the Eagles have. If the defense knows what's coming, they're probably going to stop the play. And Junior, that's been the first 6 games of the season. And Junior, we appreciate the phone call. It's not good. It is amazing how this happens so fast, too. Like, I wasn't ready for this.
No, not this level of incompetence. If it didn't look as great as it did at the end of last year, that makes sense, right? Yeah. But it's all about progression. Here's the cliche, getting 1% better every day, blah, blah, blah. But it's supposed to be growing, where, hey, week one, week two, you win ugly, and we can complain about it in the moment, but we know stacking wins in September is nice. But as we roll into the middle of October, there's supposed to be a progression and seeing growth. They're going backwards. Like, they really are going backwards.
Well, and they have 3 weeks to figure this out, right? They have the Vikings, the Giants, and a bye. That's the next 3 weeks. After that, the schedule has the Packers, the Lions. They have to go to Dallas, and that game, we saw when Dallas came here, the game wasn't super easy. They play the Chargers. They play the Commanders twice. They play the Bills. I mean, like, just think about what we saw last night. It was a bad Giants team. After the Vikings and Giants again, they're going to play maybe one or two more bad teams the whole year.
I want you to think about how bad this Giants team is. Brian Daboll is snapping at the doctor, saying, get this guy out of the tent! I got to save my job! You had the guy trying to save his job. He tried to get in the tent. The doctor had to push him out of the tent.
You see the way he looks at Jackson Dart, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little creepy.
It's pure love.
It's a little creepy. But that's what is going on in New York. He had to get in the tent to beg him to get out because his job is on the line, essentially.
A few minutes ago, we had a caller saying that Jalen has early onset Russell Wilson disease.
Yeah.
How about Russ having to come in for one play getting booed? They were like, get this guy off the field as they ripped the other kid out of the medical tent. I've never seen that.
No.
He's going to get fined.
That's a bad look.
He's got to get fined for that, right?
Yeah, listen, we all make fun of it, but like, the dude's concussed. And what's up with the one eye black thing? What's that? Is that swag?
Look, man.
Is that swag?
They just kicked our ass.
I know, but the one eye blacked in, I want to hit him with a right hook. Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? Jalen would never.
I think I saw Schefter say the NFL's looking into that.
You got to.
We have to
situation
get fine.
With Dart. Yeah.
It's supposed to be an independent neurologist.
Yeah, exactly.
The coach is barking at him.
By definition, not independent.
All jokes aside, that's like really brutal.
Of course it is.
I mean, that's like borderline insane.
Yeah. If I was Russell Wilson, I'd retire today. Like, they want to drag a guy with a concussion back on the field instead of letting me hand the ball off twice. That was rough. Alex in Center City is up. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Alex, what's up, pal?
What's going on?
All right, boys, listen. I haven't drank since March 12th of 2023, all right? So we're talking some time. I drank last night. I had to because of the birds. Listen, I don't live in Center City anymore, unfortunately, man. I'm in California, believe it or not. I'm Orange County, all right? And I'm also a Yankee fan. So listen, just hold on 1 second. We'll get to the point. Now, I believe the last caller was talking about a bullpen game, correct?
Well, the bullpen in general, but go ahead.
Right. Okay. So look, I thought it was going to be peaches and cream for the Yanks to get by in regards to the Blue Jays bullpen game, because you don't call a bullpen game.
The Blue Jays had a bullpen game in game four. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, against Schwetler.
I thought you were talking about, I'm not even going to bring it up. We lost. We sucked. Boone's got to go. I'll trade you Boone for freaking Rob for Thompson.
Yeah, I don't want him either. You can have him.
I'll
but
take Kevin Long back, too.
Yeah, you could take him.
These are my boys, man. I wanted y'all to kick LA's ass because I'm here. I'm in California, you know.
So what'd you think about the birds last night, Alex?
What'd you think about the Eagles?
It's freaking awful, dude. All right, let me tell you something. As a former quarterback, right? CHSFL champion, Archbishop Stepanak.
No nonsense there.
As a former quarterback, yes sir, respect.
That's right.
I love tons of it.
QB, brother, who's calling the plays, Petullo or Jalen?
Because I think it's Kevin Petullo.
We gotta change that. That's gotta change. And also, Jalen, you have the ability to call audibles. Yo, where is the pre-snap motion? Why is he never under center? Why is he never under center, man?
Well, it's designed for him to be in the gun.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he likes it. I don't think he's comfortable under center. Never. I mean, his whole career is barely under center.
He never is because he's not a pocket passer. He's not a pocket passer. Guys, I've been watching this guy since Oklahoma. I remember being in a Christmas freaking light show, getting out of that line, going back home to watch that New Orleans game when he came in for once. And I swear to goodness, man. That guy was, I said, we need to build around him. And look what he did. Who gets to the Super Bowl, loses, takes that on the chin, comes back the next year, does okay, has some drama with AJ, boom, comes back the next year and wins it all, smacks Mahomes in the face in the regular season the next year. I mean, guys, he's resilient. He's certainly got the starting quarterback job, but someone else mentioned Tanner McKee. I want to win ball games. I don't want to deal with someone's emotional instability, because the fact that you can't control that locker room as a leader, as a poised person that you consider yourself, Jalen.
Well, then what about Nick?
I hope you're listening.
What's Nick's job then?
No, all of them.
No. But Nick is the head coach of the football team.
Yes, and you know what? Haddonfield, New Jersey is just full of all of them, bro. That's where they're at. All right,
It's a soft area.
Yo, Bryce,
all right,
Alex.
Hey, I'm a South Jersey guy.
That was a lot.
Yeah, but they do have my. I'm a Haddonfield. Let me tell you something. Those taxes.
Yeah,
got the hell out of here.
I bet. It's not
that
for bros.
I'm filling in for Hugh Douglas. I ain't working for Haddonfield. I'm working. Nothing living Haddonfield.
Yeah, I gotta say though. You know what officially happened on October 10th. The honeymoon is over for the Eagles after winning the Super Bowl. This is our third Tanner McKee call. Sirianni's getting rocked by callers here. I mean, this is...
All I needed to hear was early onset Russell Wilson disease.
I'm just so glad I get the permission to use that, because that is a great line.
It is.
And the signs are there. Yep. I mean, you see, I don't have to be a doctor to see early onset Russell Wilson disease. It's happening in every
game.
You might have to
wear the doctor's outfit again.
You might need... You know what?
I'll have to bring that back.
Yes. Bros, I had a doctor's coat this summer because I thought a lot of people had Jalen Hurts amnesia,
yeah,
so I was diagnosing
them. You gave me that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to, unfortunately, I had to go to a funeral in August, right? And I didn't want to wear my dress shirt in the car because it was like an hour ride. So I left the house. It was like, all right, it's hot. I'm just going to wear my T-shirt, and I'll put the dress shirt when I get there. And I went and grabbed out of the closet the white And I thought I had my dress shirt. And I get down the street and like, is that my dress shirt or is that the doctor's coat? And luckily I turned around. Otherwise, I would have had the doctor's coat. So the doctor's coat is there. It's in the closet. If we need it next week, I'll wear it.
We have such a stupid job.
Yeah. We did. And the fact that I have a doctor's coat. Yeah, yeah. And
you almost wore it to a funeral. Yeah. I mean, that is pretty wild.
Well, I would have had to not go. You can't show up in that. No. It's better not to show up. You can't do that.
No way you could have walked in.
No. It's just you couldn't have done that. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get you people up before the end of the show. I'm sure they have a lot to say here. Scott Fransky and your phone calls the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, in case you didn't feel terrible enough, wait till you hear this. Something that was relayed to a Philly after the game. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. And former Bronco talking about the blueprint on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense. Was he right? We'll hit that coming up. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.